I want to share my experience with someone. I don't want them to forget about Aubrey and Abe. I want people to say their names.
Tasha Smith lives in Cleveland, Ohio, and that experience she's referring to is losing her twin newborns.
I called the doctor. Doctor said, don't panic, but come in immediately. Minutes into getting hooked up to the machines and everything, I was alerted that Aubrey's heartbeat was no longer beating.
Tasha had to deliver Aubrey and Abe at 23 weeks. Abe died just days after birth. Aubrey was stillborn.
And they asked me, did I want to see Aubrey? Of course I wanted to see Aubrey because I wanted to see what she looked like. So they brought me Aubrey, and it was the hardest thing to see. She was beautiful. Most beautifulest little girl you could ever see, just looked like she was sleeping. Strong features to be 1 pound and 4 ounces.
In 2017, there were more than 850 known stillbirths here in Ohio. So Tasha's not alone in the experience. But the racial divide is staggering. Twice as many black babies are stillborn as white in Ohio. According to the CDC, national numbers are similar. And yet, as racial discrepancies in infant mortality overall get more national attention, it's something we've covered quite a bit on this show, stillbirths are less often discussed. But talking about it may be just what's needed to ease that specific trauma that women like Tasha go through. Ann Glosser is managing producer of health and education for WCPN Cleveland, and she's been reporting on this. Ann, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The clips that we just heard are really powerful and painful. What started you on this reporting line?
Well, I was speaking with a chaplain from our local hospital system, and he mentioned that, you know, a lot of women go through the stillbirth process alone because, you know, you still have to deliver the baby. And so that got me started thinking, what's this experience like, right? And so then I dug into the data a little bit and really found that the stillbirth numbers are on par with the infant mortality rate, which, you know, we hear an infant mortality rate, that is all the babies that die within the first year of life but are born alive, right? So it does not include stillbirth deaths. So the numbers of stillbirths were very significant. And we hear a lot about the infant mortality numbers, but not a lot about the stillbirth numbers. So I really wanted to dig in and talk about that.
And remind us again the difference, what a stillbirth is.
So a stillbirth is when a baby dies in utero, right? And when a baby dies within their first year of life, that's considered infant mortality, but they need to be born alive to be counted in that statistic.
Now, again, we know that there are discrepancies in race in terms of infant mortality. Black babies have a higher likelihood of dying than white babies do. But what is driving the stillbirth discrepancy here?
Well, we're not sure. And again, you know, as with infant mortality, we know that the racial disparity cuts across all socioeconomic factors, right? And so researchers are pointing to this idea of toxic stress, and they're still trying to grapple with what's going on here in our infant mortality numbers. And what we know is that, at least here locally, preterm births are really driving that infant mortality rate, and that's definitely associated with stillbirth figures as well. So we think that there's some speculation that there might be something to do with the stress that's going on there in women's lives.
And you also spoke to experts about specific trauma that this can have, the impact that this can have on mothers. Let's hear from one of the grief counselors you spoke to.
Some moms develop what we call post-traumatic stress syndrome because they've all of this different things that's going on. They actually, you know, see their baby dead, a lot of blood and different stuff. So they have flashbacks and they try to avoid even thinking about the baby.
Is that what you heard from other mothers, Anne?
We did hear this from a lot of women that we worked with for a bigger series that we were working on about trauma and loss within the African-American community here in Cleveland. And it's really a profound experience, right? One of the folks I spoke with for this story called it, such a deep experience that sometimes women don't have words to describe it. And it's something that a lot of times it creates this grief that's just not acknowledged by society, because, you know, you're supposed to come home with a baby and then you don't, and then people don't know how to talk with you about it, and you're sort of just supposed to get over it. And it's not like when your grandma dies or something and that's openly acknowledged and discussed, and, you know, you're supported by your social networks. There's something different, at least according to the people that I was talking with for this story, about the stillbirth experience, because society doesn't like to talk about dead babies.
Let's talk a little bit about what is being done, if anything, to help mothers like Tasha.
So Ohio did create a partnership with this nonprofit organization called Count the Kicks that made patient education materials available to health professionals and did a lot of outreach there. The idea there being that encouraging mothers, pregnant mothers, to count the kicks, count the number of times their baby kicks. And the idea being that if the kick count goes lower, that would signal trouble and you could go and get into the hospital earlier and maybe help prevent a stillbirth. But the evidence there is a little mixed on whether that's effective. A 2015 Cochrane review found that it didn't help. And recently, the new governor of Ohio has an increased focus on home visits for pregnant women and new mothers. And this is, you know, an evidence-based way to decrease infant mortality, which may have some effect on stillbirths. And also there's, you know, some smoking cessation programs and chronic disease management programs and family planning and pregnancy spacing initiatives, because if you space out your pregnancies a little bit further, then your body has more time to recover and better chance of having a healthier pregnancy.
You mentioned earlier that people don't like talking about, in your words, dead babies. Why is that? What is there a cultural issue here? Is this a piece of our just general social fabric that makes us uncomfortable? What is happening where we don't talk about this enough?
One thing that we encountered a lot with this series that we were doing was trying to look at this taboo and examine it and see whether it is helpful for us. Because what we heard a lot from the community is that for women who are ready to speak about their loss experience, that it can be healing.
Anne Glosser is a reporter and managing producer of health and education for WCPN Cleveland. Anne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Fracture, a carbon-neutral glass photo printing company committed to reducing carbon emissions by reducing waste, reusing materials, and planting trees for carbon offsets. More info at fractureme.com/takeaway.
And LegalZoom. This March, LegalZoom is recognizing entrepreneurs during National Small Business Month by offering services to help meet legal needs. More information is available at LegalZoom.com/takeaway.
I'm Ira Flato, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.